You hear me?
Yes.
Thanks for not putting any expectation on my talk. It's great. So today I'm going to talk to you about the secret lives of connected products, which sounds fancy, and I hope you're going to somehow enjoy it. I entered the world of connected products in somehow casually. Actually, I was working in London for a company called Patchoube that then became some kind of this like big Internet of Things sensation. However, I wasn't really interested in the connectivity per se, but I was more interested in how somehow I could use connectivity to create products that somehow could change the behavior of people. Now I work at Frog, as Jeremy said, in Munich, and where I also try somehow to bring this idea of like working a little bit more on products, working on interfaces and services that kind of have a certain behavior. But what I really like and what I'm going to talk to you about more today is very anonymous object. So I like somehow the fact that nowadays we can connect products that somehow before they were not really connected. Lately I was in Sonar at Barcelona and somehow I tried to connect a sofa to the live set of the music, in a way trying to look at connectivity not anymore just as data, but in a way, in some kind of way of transferring feelings of people. So in a way, you would sit here, and you know, you would feel what it was to be outside with the bass. However, like when we talk about connected products, somehow, like if you search online, you always found pictures like this, and I find them always really somehow funny and sad because. In a way, like we look at products connected just in a very utilitarian way. So somehow this is a future that is going to be built. You know, it's going to be probably very useful. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to really enjoy having our favorites on the TV as soon as we enter the home. We're going to like the fact that our fridge is going to tweet us that the milk is done, or you know, so on and so on. But in a way, what I'm more interested in on a different point of view. As Amber said before, somehow we are becoming a little bit more products ourselves, adding technology. But I'm interested in the reverse. So somehow Matt Webb from Berg said something really interesting because he said products are people too. And in a way, connectivity makes product more active in our life. They kind of get this sociability. They start to interact with us more actively. But I'm also interested in the fact that they get a sociability of themselves. So I started to think, like, how would a life of a product change in the moment that it's connected? And I started from the very bottom up. So during my time in London, I really looked at the basis of a product. So I started like thinking about basically a sensor. And I think the connectivity for a product is a very distinct moment on its life. So I think that there is somehow a life before connectivity. And you know, if you think of a product, you know, it can kind of live its life by itself. It can maybe detect, especially whenever we put more input, more sensing, it can probably detect changes. It can somehow get more new references. It can come out, somehow learn about its environment. In a way, it can also learn to be a better product, because in a way, like if we think about the goal of a product itself, it's being used. And in a way, it's also like being used and learning a little bit to somehow be a better product for its own owner. However, there is a moment when a product is connected that this changes. So in a way, there is this life after connectivity. So in the moment we put two products together, or I mean we connect them to each other, suddenly they might start comparing. And I'm trying to look at, you know, that something is happening around me. And in a way, if we think of a basic product, the simplest thing that they can talk about and the only thing that they know is the fact that they're being used. So if we think about products that, you know, very similar products, they could start somehow comparing how much they're used. And the fact that, so if the goal of being used in a way makes the pleasure of a product, suddenly being used becomes extremely relative to other products. So somehow I may realize that I'm used less or more than another product. So if you think, I mean, for instance, this example, you know, like in two buttons, you know, when a person uses one button, you know, somehow, you know, I'm pushed more than you. However, in the moment then the other button is used as well, you know, you can start this kind of conversation between products. And in a way, this is what I kind of thought as peer pressure between products. And peer pressure is a very interesting thing because it's also a way in which we can understand the relationship that we have with products ourselves. I really like this quote by William Burroughs because he talks about how somehow the society around us is creating this kind of addiction towards products. So we buy more, we have somehow pleasure in buying, and this is not only created by ourselves, but it's something like created by the peer pressure of society. So when we think about convincing people to use products more, it's kind of very hard because suddenly, you know, the pressure of other people around us wants us to have more and more products. So as I kind of got from this idea of addictions, from addiction we know that it's very hard to change people. So, you know, it normally always starts from the fact that the person itself wants to change. So then in a kind of a very designery math, I thought, and what if I could create instead of an opposite force and somehow use the peer pressure of products to change the behavior of the product itself and somehow having it addicted to be used more, which somehow sounds very, I don't know, easy, but it's very difficult to do it. And in a way, I was very inspired by one random sentence that when I was working in the studio with Usmanak, he said, somehow, you know, a decently smart product may do something that you might not understand or even agree with. So then I decided really to take a real product. And I took a toaster. So, yeah, everyone laughs always. But the toaster is somehow this epitome of products. You know, it's kind of always there. We give it for granted. We only take care of it when it breaks. It's ubiquitous. I'm following a little bit the technology advancement on toasting, and I think it's going to be there, I mean, for some years. It's a very anonymous product. You know, it's kind of something that, you know, we expect to be there for our life. And at the same time, it's interesting because it's always this stereotypical object in every connected product vision. You know, it's the first object, one of the first objects that was kind of made to tweet. You know, there was also a very nice Red Dwarf episode about a toaster. And so, I mean, it's a very interesting product. So if we take the point of view of a toaster pressure comes from making toast, which is, you know, pretty basic. However, in the moment I connect it to other toasters, somehow, you know, my being used, my having enough toast suddenly become extremely relative. And so maybe, you know, what could I do about it? So if we think about peer pressure, I mean, how can this happen in reality? So I actually built this. So, you know, it takes some little bit of things, some, you know, Arduino, some sensing, a lot of glue. I mean, so I have to say that my hacking capabilities are pretty punk because, I mean, it wasn't the most safe thing I've done. However, you know, so, you know, in order to feel this peer pressure, you know, a toaster needs to know. So you need to have some kind of computing power. It also needs to sense its surrounding because maybe, you know, this kind of adds a little bit of new notions to an object. And it needs a language to communicate. So that was very interesting because somehow, you know, I wanted to keep a product as simple as possible and use only the way that a product could talk with us, which is its physicality. So, I mean, adding voice to a toaster would probably be extremely weird. So I thought, you know, in every vision, there is always this thing that I love that, you know, the toaster gets the message from the alarm clock and somehow it's going to, you know, pop down the toast and, you know, so in a way its lever is going to be probably the first thing that is going to be automated. So I thought, you know, what, you know, maybe by using this as a language, you know, we can do something interesting. And this is what my peer pressure might look like from the point of view of a toaster. So as you see, the others are starting to freak out. And, you know, and the more we use the others, then suddenly, you know, the more they start to freak out again. And you're reaching a point of, I mean, something like, I guess, toaster madness. You know, as you can see now, the other one is totally freaking out. So then I thought, okay, whoa, In the moment that an object is connected to the web, it kind of can do something else than just using its physicality. So, in a way, what can it do to subtly be used more? Because when we think about products, we always look at this one-on-one relationship. But what's interesting is that in the moment that it's connected, an object can also use maybe other products around it to be used. Or even, you know, it can talk about it to other toasters, I mean, getting some kind of support. Or at the same time, it can also reach other people or other things that are out there in the web. So maybe it can also look at, you know, other people looking for him and suddenly, you know, change the whole dimension of its actions. So I played a little bit with this idea of addictions, and so I thought about, you know, a certain craving of action. So I kind of, as it happens with addicts, I mean, with people, action become more and more drastic. So in the same way, a product could start very, you know, blandly asking for being used to then, you know, go even further. So in a way, the relationship with people could suddenly change. So we might find ourselves having to calm down a toaster. Or even I was trying to build this app that basically would allow me to calm the toaster from very far away. So as you can see, I have an app there that is kind of, you know, adding more digital use to the toaster. However, as they are digital, they're kind of a sort of, you know, fake use that, you know, it's kind of like a methadone, becomes less and less with time. And another interesting thing I tried is, like, you know, maybe I could, the toaster could take off my screen and give subtle images to somehow, you know, like, make me, and I know that you all are hungry, so this would work totally. But then I thought, okay, at a certain point, an object, you know, if nothing changes, could go to more drastic choice. So it could even break the idea of ownership. So an object could basically, you know, find another owner, which is a pretty strong thing. Or it can become so unbearable that we want to just trash it, and, you know, so then it would be finally freed. Or even I thought about sort of sustainable suicide, where, you know, basically the object would break some part of him to then get recycled and somehow get back into the cycle of products. So, I mean, at this point of time, I was by myself in a lab, and I thought that, and I thought, like, well, this sounds weird. So then I decided, well, you know, the best thing is let's try it out in the real world. So I built actually like a series of these toasters. You know, I you know, build them all, and I created what I called an addicted product network. In a way, it's a real fictional service. So it's something which is kind of like seems real enough. So I mean, I created all the branding and I created a website, and basically in this service, the whole point was that this toaster could not be bought, but could just be hosted by people. So I built a platform online where people could somehow look at how the toaster were doing in the network, and at the same time they could also apply for one. So they could just get the possibility of getting one. And in a way, inputting certain data that, from a toaster perspective, would be very interesting. So, for instance, you know, how far it was from the toaster location. So, you know, for instance, is this a sustainable toaster? You know, it wouldn't be nice to go that far because, you know, it's too much work. At the same time, how many people are there in the space? So how many possibility of getting use I have? Or how many other toaster I would be competing with? So then actually, like, I sent them for real to people here in London that were brave enough to get some of these objects. And, you know, I basically sent them. They were plug and play. They would basically work as a normal toaster. However, what was interesting is that each of them has some kind of personality. So they basically had, of course, like a Twitter handle because, you know, every connected object will tweet. I mean, not very interesting, but then, and also, like, I tried to, in a way, change a little bit the goal of every product. So some toasters were kind of wanted to be used more. Some others maybe wanted to be used less. So creating a sort of like fluctuation in what behavior they would have. So of course the toaster starting to talk and, you know, asking if there was anyone around that wanting some toast, or, I mean, also started to complain how useless they felt compared to others. And in a way trying to also, you know, talk about, you know, can actions. You know, can anyone buy some bread? And in a way, also bragging about themselves to other toasters. So in a kind of way, starting their own conversation with each other. But interestingly enough, people started to reply to them, which I didn't expect. So, you know, people saying, hey, you know, welcome, and blah, 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 and it was pretty fun. So then I went to look, I mean, on the real life of these toasters day by day. So, you know, as you can see here, this toaster is trying to get attention, however, failing miserably. You know, a whole new weird thing starting to happen. So people starting just to interact with this toaster and, you know, looking at what it would be to have this kind of toaster. But the very interesting thing is that what I said to everyone is that if the toaster was not satisfied, so in a way, if it was used less than others, someone would come and pick it up. So, you know, I asked my friend to dress up as a DHL guy to then go and kind of distribute them and pick them up. And this created a whole set of reactions that also were pretty interesting and I didn't expect. So certain people started even to make parties in order to get more toast. Certain people cheated. So, I mean, I could see how many use were done, and people just did use this in a row because I understand the mechanism that every time I pressed down, it was a use. So, I mean, this created a whole new set, and people even tried to pay me money to keep it, which was, okay, it is insane. And anyway, so then I thought, I mean, you know, what if this was actually like somehow a real service where, you know, multiple products would somehow work in this way? And I built a short movie that I'm gonna show you now that kind of shows a vision of, again, an alternative vision of the present if this actually was real.
In times of need of change, with material resources running low and an ever-growing demand, people have to start changing their perspective from owning products to sharing them. And this is Brad. Brad is part of a new breed of products. These toasters are connected to the web, but also to each other, creating a peer product network. Like all of the other toasters, Brad is programmed to love being used. He is also sensitive to the use of other toasters, so sometimes he feels a bit of pressure. Like the other toasters, Brad cannot be owned. He can only be hosted by people who convince him that they will be a good host. Rather than demonstrating their buying power, people will now have to prove their keeping power towards products.
So yeah, I subscribed to the service. I really didn't know what products I was going to get. And I thought, well, it's an amazing deal, because like you just get the products that you need, and if you have something that you don't need, then it just goes off on its own somewhere where somebody does need it.
When Brad arrives at a new home, he starts to learn about his hosts and context. He soon realizes that he loves a bit of toast every morning. He always tweets about it.
So yes, I received Brad a few days ago, and so far like he seems calm and he seems happy enough. I can check what his mood is and how he's feeling. A friend of mine got two toasters actually, because he eats so much.
If he uses them more than other toasters, he will remark upon how satisfied he is. When Brad is left alone for a very long time, he will try to draw attention to himself. When his host forgets about him, and other toasters in the network are used more than he is, he'll start to feel a bit of craving come on. Brad may start asking for more, showing signs of anxiety. After a while, Brad may start to play tricks with other products in order to achieve his goal.
He says so much bread and we don't know why.
If nothing changes, then Brad will have to find some better solutions and so we'll embark on a search for a new host.
Yeah, man, we receive a lot of requests from these toasters, and we have to go to places to get them, and people are a bit surprised, but, you know, we've got to do it.
So, yeah, I was pretty gutted when Brad left. But on the other hand, it's pretty pricey to keep hold of a device that doesn't want to be there, and it means I've got more space for other devices now, I suppose. Plus, I didn't want him to suicide. I've even heard of cases where a toaster short-circuited itself if it wanted to be sent away. And I guess I just didn't deserve Brad, really.
So, well, I mean, this is basically just a speculation. It's more of a question towards what it really means to design products that are connected. But at the same time, it kind of points at a general issue that we have with products, that somehow, like, we don't want to share them, we want to keep them. And in this is kind of something that is really complicated in our life at the moment. But so I thought about, you know, what if a product would, you know, would be really owner of itself? And, you know, what are the limits then? And this is something like an open question that I still have in my mind. Like, I mean, what kind of repercussion would have? And so what I want to say is that somehow when we connect products, we kind of think about this seamless reality. But I mean, what's interesting is kind of what lies behind all these little seams, these little problems that comes from connecting them. I mean, products, there's going to be a lot of fake smiles around, because somehow we can design products that have the goals of the companies that they're produced from. So in a way, will products will ever want to collaborate? I mean, will ever somehow Samsung product want to collaborate with an Apple product? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But at the same time, because we design the product ourselves, we kind of create we kind of put our ideas in them. So I was thinking, you know, if you think about a car and the idea of perfection of parking, like a self-driving car, I mean, if the perfection of parking from an Italian point of view compared to a German is really different. So in a way, this will lead to some kind of infinite adjustment between the cars themselves, which kind of either we're going to start creating, you know, standard across every possible conversation between products, or else this is going to be an interesting mess. I mean, on the other way, products with goal can start to become also bullies to other products. So, I mean, my Nest, which we said earlier, if somehow wants me to save more money, might have something to say to my old kettle. So, at the end, what I really want to say is that when we connect products, we somehow stop at the act of connecting them, and we draw somehow these dotted lines that, you know, we say, okay, they're connected and it's fine. But actually, what it's interesting is that if we stop thinking about just, you know, building these internets, but we really start looking at the relationship we create between products, we kind of might find new ways of designing and living together with connected products. So, thank you very much. Woo.